Okay, so we're doing Tosos Velo Birch Acharos in Kavzayim and Afan Cholim. So basically, Tosos is about saying that Bracha Achrona you bench when according to Letz is Machloka, so they bench on Kabetz or Kazayis. But Bracha Rishona, it's saying is definitely on a Kol Shel. Okay? Definitely on a Kol Shel. So the Gemara is pretty Tosos is a problem. Because the Gemara learns out Bracha Rishona from Bracha Achrona, from a Kal V'Chomer. It says if you're mechayev to make a bracha, to give Shevach when you're full, certainly when you're hungry. So since that's the case, so you should have no right to extend it beyond the shear for Bracha Achrona. You're only chayev to make a bracha on Bracha Achrona when you're full from a kezayis or a kebetza. So too when you're hungry, it should only be if you're hungry and you're going to eat a kezayis. Or a kibetza. But that's not the case. Oh, wait a second. Yeah. It's a good chance. Yeah, okay. So, I'll see you. Okay. So, right. So the problem in Tosus is that, what's the deal with, he's saying is that, even though it's not a real Kal V'Chomer, it's just a Gila Milsa. So, this is a Gila Milsa, you have a right to have different Shiram. The Shiram for Baruch Hashem Baruch Haron don't have to be the same and you don't apply Daya. So, the problem is what's the logic to the Kal V'Chomer itself? And it just doesn't sound to add up because when you're full, you make a bracha. You make it to make a bracha. So too, when you're hungry, I mean, what? No, yeah, I'll tell you, make a bracha when you're full because you're full. When you're full is like is a danger when you're full. You're in the danger of denying Kadosh Baruch Hu or something to that effect. But when you're hungry, no. I mean, they're two different things. I mean, where's the force of that Kal V'Chomer? And then, assuming there is a force, then Tayos Tos is knocking it out. What's his Giloy Milsa and the whole deal?
We had a question just like in general.
So David asked questions, it's a side point a little bit, but the question is that the Gemara over there in Brachos really doesn't conclude with this answer, with this Kal V'Chomer. It concludes with it's a Svara of Asula and of an Olimbo Bracha, or a Kilumah. So why is Tosus going on a Havamina in the Gemara? Maybe I'll tell you in a Hanami. According to the Havamina that you learned there from the Kal V'Chomer, the Shir would be different. Maybe it would be different. I mean, you can't prove from the conclusion that's not a good Limud. I mean, it was rejected. Mm-hmm. But if you look carefully at the Gemara, you have to look carefully. I don't think it was rejected. I think in the Gemara tried to learn out, how do you know you say Bracha Rishona? So try to learn it out from a Pasuk of Kodesh Hillel LaHashem. It was basically a Pasuk by Netta Ravai, by Karam Ravai, by grapes. So it came to a grape, so it says, you see that you make a Bracha. So it says, the Gemara says, that's a regular Bracha Achrona, but how do you know Bracha Rishona? On grapes, so it says no, because of this Kal V'Chomer. If you make it on Bracha Achrona, certainly make it. So if you make it on Acharav, certainly make it beforehand. Certainly beforehand. So the Gemara says, oh, that's fine, that's well and good. But the problem is, how are you going to get to anything besides for grapes? Because this whole limud was only by grapes. So then the Gemara had to go try to learn out from grapes to everything else, but it couldn't. It rejected it. So then the Gemara had to come on to Svara. But by grapes, that really was the conclusion. That was really, you could learn it out from the Pesukim, and you could learn out for Kal V'Chomer from the Bracha Rishona, the Bracha Achrona, but by other stuff which you don't have that halacha of Bracha Achrona, so then you're going to need the Svara. But the Gemara, but the limud is still there, so that's what I was saying. Since the limud is still there when it comes to, say, grapes, so if that's the case, then the shear should be the same. The shear should be the same. So why isn't it? So as Tos says, it's not a real Kal V'Chomer. It's not a real Kal V'Chomer. So it's not a real Kal V'Chomer. You can't in any way apply the same shear. You can't say dayo, and therefore. That leads us back to our problems. Back to the problems is what's the Kal V'Chomer? I guess the first place is what's the Kal V'Chomer?
Yeah.
Okay, so it just gets the ball rolling here. So I was thinking is that the thing is, like, is that a bracha? What's a bracha? So a bracha is really it's a person's hakara of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, or like 100 brachas a day. So the idea is that a person, his whole life should be he should be in constant recognition of the Borei Olam. Okay, and different events in his life triggers to bring to his mind the reality of Kadosh Baruch Hu and the opportunities to give Shevach Hashem. Right? And you have different mechayivim. Different opportunities are mechayivim of bracha. Now what's saying is apparently, you see from benching, is that the realm of food and achila is such an opportunity. Okay, it's such an opportunity of Shevach Hashem. That a person's food is a great way for a person to realize his whole sustenance is from Kadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, when he is involved in sustenance and attaining his sustenance, when he's full, that you just enjoyed this nice meal. So it's a good opportunity to recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu, because he's the source of the sustenance. So that the Torah was mechayev you in such recognition, based upon your Kadosh Baruch Hu as the source of your sustenance. Okay? Right?
Okay.
Now the thing is like this, is that in theory, the Baruch Hu Rishona is another way to recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu as your source of sustenance. Or just, it seems like, in a sense, there are two sides of a coin. I mean, they're both the recognition of the Kadosh Baruch Hu as a source of substance. Just one of them is Rishona, and one of them is Achrona. Okay? Now, the thing is that if you say that a bracha is an opportunity for a person to recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which the Torah makes use of, and is mechayev a person in, so it seems to be that there is an advantage, and it's a better opportunity, Rishona, than it is Achrona. Okay? Why? Because, like they say, like there's no atheist in the foxhole. You know that saying. Namely, that a person is much more when he's hungry is much more prone to recognizing the provider. Okay, he's hungry and he's in need, and then he could recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu as the source of satisfying his need. Notice he has a need, so now he's in a state where he's humbled, so to speak, by the fact that he has a need. So that state of mind is one which is very appropriate and conducive towards recognition of a greater the provider. But the state of mind of a sava, of someone who is full, is really one which is not so conducive towards recognizing Kadosh Baruch Hu, because he's full. He doesn't have any needs at that point. So since the and it's difficult to recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu in such a state. So saying, since the bracha is what the Chazal, what the Torah did instead of being a bracha, is that it took certain experiences of a person which are appropriate triggers to help a person in his hakara of Hashem. So saying, if the Torah held that when a guy is full, it's the recognition of Kadosh Baruch Hu as source of sustenance is an opportunity to recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu, and is a good one. Even though there is the hindrance of the fact that he's full, still the realm of recognizing Hashem because of your sustenance is still a good opportunity, and the Torah is mechayev you in it. Certainly, when you're in the same realm of sustenance, but you don't have this ma'akev in your personality, because then you're hungry, so certainly it's even a better opportunity to recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu, because your personality is more in line with, more turned towards such a recognition. So that's Kal V'Chomer. This isn't an absolute Kal V'Chomer. You could argue with it. I mean, there is an argument. You see that Tosis is saying it's not a real Kal V'Chomer, but there is a line of reasoning in which there's a Kal V'Chomer. You could argue, and we'll get to this, but you could argue, no, on the contrary, there, since there's the danger, there's even more of a chiyuv. But that's one way of looking at it. In other words, there is a train of thought in which there's a Kal V'Chomer, which is that the Chiyuv Bracha is based, like for instance, and there's like a person should always recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu 24/7, right? But the Torah was not mechayev a person to do that all the time, right? I mean, after all, like, there's no limit to the person recognizing Kadosh Baruch Hu.
There's no Chiyuv on breathing.
There's no Chiyuv on breathing, exactly. So why? So the simple answer is because it's very difficult for a man to recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu when he's breathing. And the Torah wasn't mechayev you on anything which the highest level person could recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu on. I mean, it's true, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu every time he breathes could recognize that, but the average person can't do it. So what the Torah did is it was mechayev you in, there are moments where a person is in a state which is ra'oi for and easy for him to recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if it doesn't mean it's going to naturally happen. I don't think a person's going to be hungry, and that's the natural response. I'm not saying it's like it's human nature. It's just, it's conducive to that recognition. That recognition will come easier to him, and he'll be able to internalize it in a greater kind of a way. So, like for instance, like thunder. Thunder is something that hits a person. Wow, powerful. So, it directs the person to Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is called Kadosh Baruch Hu. So food, the fact when you're involved in the area of sustenance, apparently you see that's an appropriate area. That's a good opportunity, which is in line with man's nature, to turn and recognize that there is a source of this sustenance. That's an appropriate opportunity. And the Torah's mechayev you based upon the opportunities. It wasn't mechayev, even though in theory you could do it anytime, 24/7. But the chiyuvim come from the appropriate opportunities. Now, since this is, since the beforehand is a better opportunity than afterwards, if the Torah held that afterwards is a good opportunity, because the realm of sustenance is such a good opportunity, even afterwards where there is a something which prevents you and prevents the opportunity, certainly beforehand where it's even a better opportunity to recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So if that's the argument, so then Tosas is saying is that you since so you're saying is the same as one achila is an achila of sustenance is really the mechayev in bracha, but it's mechayev in two senses. It's mechayev you after you had it, and it's mechayev you certainly is mechayev you before you have it. Before you have it, right? So if that's the case, then you'd have no right to extend that to another achila, to an achila which is less than that, where there is no bracha afterwards. So now I'll say, oh, a smaller achila isn't such an opportunity. And there's like a smaller achila, for instance, less than a kezias, so you don't do a bracha achrona. So you have no indication from the Torah that that's a good opportunity to recognize Gosh Baruch Hu. So then beforehand also, you have no right to extend it. The Kal Vachomer is based upon a logic. It's saying is that if this achila, an achila shel kezayis or shel kebetz, achila shel sviya, is a good opportunity to recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu after you have it, it's certainly going to be a good opportunity to recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu before you have it, before you do it, as you're about to be involved in it. But that doesn't. But now you have no right to generalize and say that any achila is mechayev me beforehand, because that's not the way it is on bracha achrona. So if you wanted to say that, then you'd be going beyond. But Dayo says you can't do that. Dayo says is even though beforehand there's a better opportunity, you have no right to project the halachos that you think should have been the case in Rishona, because you learned that already from Achrona. That's going beyond the scope of Kal Vachomer. That's the principle of Dayo. And Dayo says simply all you have a right to do is to equate the Chomer with the Kal. To create an equation. You have no right to go anything beyond that. So that's the problem. So the answer is no, it's not a real Kal Vachomer, it's only a Gilim Elsa. It's only a Gilim Elsa. So what's wrong with the Kal Vachomer? I mean, he proves it's not a real Kal Vachomer, because if this were really a Kal Vachomer, then Baruch Hashem wouldn't have to be Deoraisa, but it isn't. So the first thing is, why is it not a real Kal Vachomer? And then what's the Gilim Elsa then? If it's not a real Kal Vachomer, then what is it? So the first thing I do is what's the weakness in the Kal Vachomer? Why is it not a good Kal Vachomer? So I think then the problem with the Kal Vachomer is that it's assuming that the Mechayev, the reason why benching is your Chayev in benching when you're full, is because full is a good opportunity to bench, to give Shabbat. But maybe it's not only because it's a good opportunity. Not every opportunity is necessarily Chayev to jump upon. It's a good opportunity, that's true. But maybe there's no chiyuv because it's a good opportunity. Maybe the chiyuv is because when you're full, there's a danger, right? There's danger of rumble vavecha v'shachachta v'shachal kacha. Right? That a person eats and he's full and he's going to deny Kadosh Baruch Hu. He feels kolchivotim yadi or something to that effect. I mean, the svia is a danger, and the svia is where a person feels that it's because of him. Then there's no. You have to recognize. This via is because of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Don't feel all haughty and all full yourself because you're full now. You're full because Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave you the food. So that's the mechayev in benching. But when it comes to Baruch Hu Rishona, even though it may be a better opportunity to recognize Hakadosh Baruch Hu, but that doesn't necessarily generate a chiyev. As the chiyev is only assuming that as the Kal Vachomer is only assuming that the mechayev of the bracha is the opportunity, that the opportunity per se generates a chiyev. But you could say no, the opportunity doesn't generate chiyev. It's the danger that generates the chiyev. And if that's the case, then you have no Kal Vachomer anymore, because I'll just say no. Bracha Rishon is a very nice opportunity, even better than bracha Achrona. But it doesn't mean you're chayev. It doesn't mean you're chayev. The state of fullness is like there's no needs. Total pleasure, satisfaction, I have no need whatsoever. Now I feel, I'm it, I'm the man. There's nothing that I need. I have a total state of satisfaction. So I don't need anybody. Oh, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. You know? Then mitshachach klas Hashem al-gacha. That's what I'm saying is right now, right then, you got to, the Torah's mechayev you to stop and recognize that, no, this whole sphere is because of Hashem Baruch Hu. So, you're totally in need. You're not intrinsically a soveya. Just right now, Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave you something, and therefore you're a sviya. But it's because of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, so that's the case. So that's a good rejection. So that's what I'm saying. It's not really a kal vachomer. There is a line of reasoning there, but it falls short because that may not be the appropriate line of reasoning. Right. There may be a mistake there. You're assuming something. There's no force. Because you're assuming that the mechayev of benching is because it's a good opportunity, but maybe it's not true. And if it's not true, then you don't have a kal vachomer. Then on the contrary, I'll tell you, Baruch Hashem, you're not chayven. Right? And he proves that, because that is the fact. In the Torah, that's the fact. You're chayev on Sviya, but you're not chayev on Baruch Hashem. So in fact, that's the true Svara, that is true. So if that's the case, now we have the question, so what's Tosa saying? It's a Giloy Melchim. What kind of thing is that? And so then, well, so it's not a real kal vachomer, so what's the Gemara say? It's a kal vachomer. And that doesn't make sense. It's a kal vachomer, it's not a kal vachomer. And so the Gemara should just throw out the kal vachomer, say it's not true. Because you see that there's no chiyuv in the Torah of Baruch Hashem. So I mean, it's not a good kal vachomer. Why does the Gemara leave it? Why doesn't the Gemara reject it? I mean, it's like, then you're basically just saying that it's not a kal vachomer. That's still saying, and that's what we're saying now. There's no logic to it. So then why did it bring it down? And what kind of gilei milsa? It can't be gilei anything because it's not true. It's not a good logic. Yeah, so I would say, like David's saying, that it's true, it's not a kal vachomer. But the thing is like this, the Rabbanon are setting up, that's his first premise, is that that this whole thing of Baruch Hashem is on the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon are making it up. Now the thing is, you could ask, well, how do the Rabbanon know that this is a good opportunity, a good place to make a bracha? Because the Rabbanon have to model themselves. It looks like it's deoraisa, you know what I mean? But as the Rabbanon have to find, before they make a takana, they have to find it in the Torah, that it's an appropriate type of takana. You can't just make up anything. So you can make it up based on a good svara, you can make it up based on a limud, but you have to make it up based upon something. They can't just posit a new institution without any basis. So the saying is, how do you know, it's true you want to set up brachos, but how do you know that achila is a good opportunity to recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu? Is it just something that they just made up? Or is there a source for that? So it could be what it's saying is that you see from this kal vachomer, or it's true the chiyuv of the kal vachomer is only because of the danger. The bottom line is that even though there is a danger, you do see that the Torah holds that it is an opportunity for a person to recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Right.
That the sustenance, that being full, and is being sustained by Kadosh Baruch Hu, that experience is one which is an appropriate opportunity to recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, it's true, a chayev one, because of a different problem, because of the danger. But bottom line is, the danger can't do something which is impossible. If there was no opportunity here to recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's very nice as a danger, but it's just not going to work. So you see, though, from the Torah, that apparently the idea of recognizing Kadosh Baruch Hu as your source of sustenance, based upon an achila which you're involved in, is an appropriate idea. Now, if that's the case, and if you follow that logic through, then you'll see that by before the achila, it's even a greater opportunity to have that recognition. So certainly there's room for the Rabbanon to set up a chiyuv bracha in such an instance. Because based upon the deraisa, you see that that's a great opportunity. This is even a better opportunity than the deraisas. Now you can't generate a chiyuv because maybe the chiyuv deraisa only comes when there's a danger, or they want to mechayiv you. But the Rabbanon are trying to be mechayiv you at all the good opportunities. So therefore it's a gilui milsa, the svara is a gilui milsa, that this is a very good opportunity for a person to recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore the Rabbanon jumped on the opportunity and said, we're actually mechayiv you, the Rabbanon. So with the Gemara, it looks like it's a kal vachomer. It's not really a kal vachomer. It's a kal. There is a kal. It's a gilui milsa that this is a good place for the Rabbanon to set up the takana.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But since that's the case, hold on 1 second. Why don't you argue now? But still, since that's the gilui milsa, so all you have a right to say is a gilui milsa about. Is where it's less than, where it's more than a kazayas or more than a kibetza. It's still, when you have the same problem still. The bottom line is, you're saying it's a gilui milsa. You're saying the gilui milsa is necessary in order for the Rabbanan, right, in order to, for the Rabbanan to make their gazera. They have to, their takana. They have to model it off of the deraisa. So if that's the case, then why don't you say the same problem, that it should be limited to an achila of kazayas? Maybe it's only that achila which is a good opportunity.
Oh, that's
so I think it makes sense that the difference, there's a difference between Bracha Rishon and Bracha Rishon. And it makes sense, Bracha, the difference between two different shiurim. Now, the logic is that because the opportunity of Sviya is because Sviya is a certain state where a person feels full from his achila. And that state is one which causes him to recognize the source of that fullness, or is an opportunity to recognize the source of that fullness. Now, you could argue that that state doesn't come about if you eat a kolshel. I mean, the state doesn't come about in that way. The state is brought about by a larger, by a certain quantity. Okay, because ice, kibetz, or whatever it is, but there has to be quantity to it. But the opportunity beforehand is the hunger. That is when you're hungry, and you're about to satisfy your desire, as it's the taiva, you're about to be nana, it's the hana'ah. In other words, it's like a bracha nana. As the bracha afterwards, the bracha on the state of Sviya. But hana'ah, there's certainly hana'ah. There's no state of Sviya beforehand. The state is, the bracha there is on the hana'ah. As they are doing an achila, and achila is going to bring with it a certain hana'ah. Now that hana'ah exists at a kolshel. So even if you eat a little bit, as you're about to partake of the ochel, and that's going to bring you hana'ah. So therefore, it makes sense to say that you're going to have the bracha rishona even on a kolshel. The only thing is that if it were real Kal V'Chomer, then Daya is a principle in Kal V'Chomer. In other words, it's not that logically they have to, it's not a logical thing, Daya. Or it's not saying that logically, yeah, they have to be, they make sense that they have to be equal. No, they're two different things. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, two different things. But it's just saying is that if the whole force of the Baruch Rishon is from a Kal V'Chomer, then you're limited by the principles of a Kal V'Chomer. And Kal V'Chomer is one of the Gil Midos and has a limitation of Daya that's from the Torah. So then you wouldn't have a right to extend it beyond the Misvara. But once you tell me that the Rabbanan are just using the Deoraisa to show you that Achila is a good realm upon which a person could recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they're saying afterwards is a good recognition, then beforehand is a good opportunity. So beforehand will, but now that doesn't mean they have to be stuck by the rules of Dayo. Now they're going to interpret it as appropriate, and they're going to realize that beforehand it makes sense that it should be on a Kol Shel. But after, because that's based on Hana. But afterwards, it's based upon a different idea.
The idea
afterwards is going to, yeah, now you could use the idea itself. Whereas they're just using that to show you that Achila is a good realm, and if afterwards, certainly before. But now you have to apply the idea as is appropriate to the area.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, just to explain a little bit, Hana, the difference between why Hana Benenim is on Kalshu and Sviya is on more. Is only in Sviya, is because, see, beforehand, I'm hungry. Before I eat, I'm hungry. So the hunger, I'm desirous of a certain type of a pleasure. So the pleasure is in my mind's eye right now. And that pleasure, is I'm giving Shevach that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me the ability to satisfy the pleasure. Now that pleasure is in me on a kosher even. I mean, even if I don't fill myself up, every amount that I eat is a pleasure. So therefore, any amount is right to give me my Shevach on. But afterwards, it's gone. It's history. And as I ate the thing, now I enjoyed it during the thing, but now it's over. So now, what am I giving Shevach on? In terms of an opportunity, where is there an opportunity anymore? Because it's history. Why isn't it just like when I'm breathing? And what's the reality of the achila in my mind after I ate? So if there's Sviya, that's the thing. Sviya is the reality because eating produces an after effect. So even though the experience is fleeting, the Sviya isn't fleeting, the Sviya is still there. Right. So therefore, an Achila Sheyesh Bo Sviya is the opportunity to recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu even after you finish it. But beforehand, on your mind's eye is the hunger. That hunger is pressing, and that's an opportunity right now to think about Kadosh Baruch Hu, who gave you the ability to satisfy that hunger. Now that's even going to be a kolshu. It's the same hunger if you can eat a kolshu, or if you can eat the same desire. If you can eat a kolshu, it's different in quantity, but essentially, your desire, either way, and you can make a bracha on that, either way.